It's time! Hey, Dave, listen up, please!
Scotty, that's a great question. I got a question for you, though, Scotty. You know that there's other players on our team besides Desi.
But what are you waiting for?
I don't know. Something amazing.
Jones for three. And he banks it in.
Bailey. Up and in and a chance for three.
Six. He's dancing. Smith is there. Accelerates. No! Rebound Note. That's it. Arkansas is going to the Sweet 16.
Oh, how sweet it is indeed. Seth Campbell joined by Scotty Bordeline, and we are going to break it down as Arkansas reaches the Sweet 16 for the first time, Scotty, since 1996. I can guarantee you when the Razorbacks went in 96, people were not expecting it to take 25 years for them to get back.
But
it did. But the Razorbacks have reached that promised land. And in the weirdest of years, Arkansas has indeed reached the Sweet 16, and they get a matchup against ORU. I would say favorable there, because you could be playing a team that, you know, is the number two seed in Ohio State or even Florida, which was the seven. But instead of that, you get to play the team that beat both of those teams. So there is a little bit of anxiousness there. Arkansas has already beaten ORU, so we'll dive into that. We're going to dive into the fact of that some people in the national media, Scotty, this week, they had some pretty bad takes. And we're going to dive into it a little bit deeper. It's one thing to have some bad takes. It's another thing to take some shots at a place that you and I call home. And so we're going to dive just a little bit into that, talk about those takes and where they went wrong. We're not going to necessarily rail the person, because if we went back and looked at every single bad take that I had, we would have a few. But we are going to talk about that. And then we're going to preview Arkansas's matchup against ORU. But first, Scotty, that game against Texas Tech was an all-time thriller.
Man, it was great. And I was covering the game from my living room, and I have the live stats pulled up, like the stat broadcast on my laptop. And that is about 30 to 35 seconds ahead of what's showing on the TV. And so my mom is over, she's watching, she brought gumbo over, God bless her. So I had that before the game. And my wife is also in the living room, and they're watching the game. And as soon as I see something happen on stat broadcast, I'm writing a note about it for the live updates. And so I'm seeing it like before they see it. I know what's going to happen before they see it on TV. And it was pretty fun to see their reactions, especially in the last, you know, few minutes of the game. It was really fun. But you pointed out, you know, that this has been the strangest year imaginable. But I think Arkansas deserves a lot of credit, because even in like a year full of uncertainty, season full of just question marks, Arkansas has been one of the more stable teams in the country. Like Eric Musselman missed a game early in the year, but it wasn't because he had COVID, and just some contact tracing stuff. And then, you know, there was the Jalen Williams thing happened around the SEC tournament. But other than that, you know, Arkansas's gotten through this whole season just pretty much unscathed. Like from the beginning of the season until now, there hasn't been many, you know, bumps in the road for Arkansas that have just nothing that has like derailed the team at all. And I don't think a lot of other teams in the country can say that. So props to Arkansas for getting to this point, you know, with minimal obstacles to get through other than the team you're playing.
Yeah, the obstacles, like you said, Jalen Williams not being there, and then playing without Justin Smith. You know, is this team as good as it is right now if they didn't have to play without Justin Smith and realize how crucial he is to this team? Because before the beginning of January, when Arkansas lost Alabama, lost to LSU, and played without Justin Smith, I didn't know how valuable Justin Smith was to this team. There's some people in Indiana that definitely didn't know how valuable Justin Smith was to this team. But I think it just shows you how the evolution of this team has come. Jalen Williams didn't even play against ORU in the first time Arkansas played them. Devo Davis played 8 minutes. Now Devo Davis is locking down one of the best scorers in the entire country to where he doesn't even touch the ball on his team's last possession with an opportunity to go up.
Yeah, he didn't touch the ball in the last minute.
Like, that is how, that's why you play 30 games throughout a season, because you have to figure those things out. And you know, Arkansas played the least amount of players that they've played all season in a game to go to the Sweet 16. I mean, there's just so many things that you have to figure out as you go down the road, and Arkansas has done that.
Yeah, what I meant earlier was totally COVID-related, because the Justin Smith injury was a huge obstacle that Arkansas had to get through.
Right.
But credit to him for, you know, he saw that Arkansas was not the same team without him. And I think at that point, Justin kind of realized how valuable he really was to this team and how he kind of, he's the glue. Like, you can talk about how you use different phrases like glue guy, or, you know, he kind of holds things together, and that in some ways that can be code for this guy's not real good, but every once in a while he can be a difference maker. Justin Smith is kind of redefining glue guy for Arkansas anyway, and he's playing like a pro right now. Like, he scored, so going into the Texas Tech game, he had scored 20 plus points in back-to-back games for the first time in his career. And then against Texas Tech, he scored 20 again. And he did it on 9 of 11 shooting. And that's not even the full story of his game. Like, on the defensive side, when he was the nearest defender to a Texas Tech shot, they were 3 of 17 from the floor. Wow. And 1 of 13 shooting inside the three-point line. Justin Smith is making himself some money. Like, even since the postseason started, he's been lights out. He's team dad, had another phenomenal, flawless second half offensively. He went 5 for 5 in the second half against Texas Tech. So he's shooting like over 75% in the second half of their last 10 or 11 games. He's been unbelievable. And it's funny in hindsight to go back and listen to some of the things that Indiana people have said about Justin Smith. Because sometimes it was like just the Justin Smith Indiana relationship got stale, and he broke free from it, and he's got a new situation and he's thriving now. And sometimes all you need is like a change of scenery,
right?
And a coach that knows how to best utilize you, and you can thrive. And he looks like a completely different player. I mean, his defense is, when Justin Smith came here, I talked to an Indiana guy. He said the place that the Hoosiers were going to miss him most was defensively. Justin's been phenomenal defensively, and he's given you 17 points a game over the last month when it really, really matters. That's a guy he's going to make a lot of money really soon.
I'd say so. He's definitely going to play somewhere professionally if it doesn't work out in the NBA. But like you said, he's playing like a pro, and he's been a huge difference maker for the Hogs. Another just something that I thought was interesting, Scotty, is the fact of Moses Moody, while not being the Arkansas's leading scorer in Arkansas's first two games, he created his shot a little bit more than I thought I've seen all season long. One of the ones that really sticks out in my mind is against Texas Tech. He had the ball in the left wing and created off of the dribble. I mean, it was like a two-step turnaround J from the elbow, and he drilled it. I think that's just the steady evolution of Moses. And it, you know, he's not going to come back for next year, but if he did, like, the evolution of Moses Moody would be one that would be really cool to watch and see how he would grow. But you're just going to have to do that with him wearing another jersey besides Arkansas.
Right.
Because he's going to the NBA draft. He's a lottery pick now for sure. I think he's cemented that with taking Arkansas to the Sweet 16. He's got 5 tools and he can use them and utilize them. And I think that it's just been interesting to see him be able to create that shot.
Yeah, I guess Texas Tech, I did the shot catalog for each guy not long after the game was over. His first shot, off the bounce mid-range jumper from the right elbow, nailed it. Third shot, off the bounce mid-range from the right corner, nailed it. In the second half, off the bounce mid-range from the left elbow, nailed it. And then his last two shots off the bounce mid-range from the left elbow, nailed it. That was when Texas Tech was making their mad comeback later in the game. And then his last bucket off the bounce three from the right wing.
Was that the one he banked in?
Yeah. That was the five buckets off the bounce.
Some people believe that.
And he's an elite catch and shoot guy, but he gives you five buckets off the dribble. How are you going to defend him?
You're not.
Yeah.
I mean, truthfully.
Next to impossible.
Truthfully, you're not. Side note, some people think that Arkansas was under a curse, right? Ever since the Nolan stuff. And Texas Tech banks in that three. And you could almost hear, I was watching the game by myself with my wife, but you could hear almost like a groan from all of Razorback Nation of, are you kidding me?
Yeah, seen this before.
This is going to happen again. And I don't know. This could come back to bite Arkansas in the butt, but it almost seems like Moses broke the curse because he comes right back down and banks in a three.
Yeah,
and you're like, okay, the curse is broken. Mm-hmm. This is going to happen. And Razorback fans started believing again. So I think that was just a funny aside. But
it's poetic that an Arkansas kid did it.
Yes, yes. And it almost like it needed to be an Arkansas kid for the curse to be broken.
That's and by a kid named Moses of all people, of all names.
He's taking Arkansas to the promised land. Yeah, the atmosphere at Hinkle looks amazing. Obviously, Scotty and I are not there. It looks like a really cool place to play. A unique place to play with the fact that it has windows.
Yeah, I'm glad Arkansas didn't get a time slot where the sun was like beating down on one end of the floor.
Yeah, that would be really unfortunate. But it does have windows. Arkansas is not going to play there. They're going to play at the home of the Pacers. Mm-hmm. Where they played their first game against Colgate. So that's kind of unique. Arkansas's got a little experience in that arena. I haven't looked and see where ORU played their games. But Sweet 16 games are going to be played at Hinkle and at the Pacers' place. And then all Elite Eight games are moving to Lucas Oil Stadium. And they'll be played because Lucas Oil has two courts. They don't play simultaneously, but they have two courts set up on either end zone. All Elite Eight games, Final Four, and then the championship will be played there. All right, Arkansas, ORU. But before we put this Texas Tech game to rest, Musselman was a little irate. Or not irate, I think he was almost satisfied at the ending to the Texas Tech game because of something that somebody in the national media said. And I think that you ride a fine line here, Scotty, from giving somebody attention that he doesn't deserve, right?
Yeah.
And also bringing up something that has literally been a part of most Razorback fans' experience in this NCAA tournament. So we're not going to necessarily run this and spend 30 minutes on it. But I think that when you have a coach that gets on a post-game press conference and says this.
Yeah, I take it personal.
You have to bring it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. What Musselman is talking about here, we'll play the clip for y'all. This is a CBS analyst, as a former sports bettor. He made the lines. There's a word for that, but I can't remember off the top of my head. And this is what he's saying.
I'm going to make a case for Texas Tech here. When I look at the head coaches in this game, I think it's one of the biggest mismatches we're going to see in the round of 32. We talked going into the game against Utah State, what Chris Beard's record looked like during the NCAA tournament. Well, he has to be licking his chops knowing that Eric Musselman will be on the other sideline.
I don't have a problem picking Texas Tech. Chris Beard is a fantastic coach. He's never lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament. His team plays really good defense, which Arkansas plays better defense, which you wouldn't know by listening to the announcers.
We'll
talk
about that later, yeah.
And we will. The thing that I think Razorback fans took offense to, which, by the way, Razorback fans can get in a mob on Twitter. If you haven't seen that over the past week, they can straight up pitchforks.
Don't go after Arkansas or fans. Like, that is not going to ever end well for you.
Yeah, they come at you with pitchforks and everything else. But Arkansas, I think what makes Arkansas fans angry is that he took a shot at Eric Musselman and his coaching ability.
Right.
And Musselman is not shown a lack of coaching ability really since I've seen him in college. You know, maybe there's a few opportunities, but everybody's human. But I think the fact of Chris Beard is just that much better of a coach and he's licking his chops at this matchup, I think that's what set Razorback fans off. And I think it's not a great take.
I didn't understand it. Like, why was that going to be one of the biggest coaching misses? Like, I just don't understand, like, the genesis of that thought.
Right.
I just don't get it. Because it's not like Eric Musselman doesn't have any NCAA tournament success on his resume.
The dude coached in the NBA.
He coached in the NBA, but he also took a mid-major in Nevada to the Sweet 16. Had, like, a couple of just unbelievable comebacks. Do bad coaches bring their teams back from 20 down to win NCAA tournament games?
No.
And he brought his team back from double digits in the first round and then won by more than covered the spread, even though he got down 14 in the first half. And
yeah, won 85-68.
I just don't understand the thought process there. Like, it didn't make me, like, that kind of stuff doesn't make me mad.
Right.
It doesn't make me mad, but it was really tough to follow the train of thought that led to him saying that. It just didn't make sense. Why would Chris Beard be licking his chops when he looks at Arkansas's sideline and sees Eric Musselman?
Yeah. And the biggest mismatch, let me just remind you of some of the teams that were in the Sweet 16, or not, pardon me, not Sweet 16, the round of 32. North Texas, Abilene Christian, Oral Roberts. These are just some of the teams that are there. The biggest mismatch coaching-wise. You mean Mike White versus Oral Roberts, a guy that's taken his team to, I can't remember off the top of my head, multiple Sweet 16s, though. I'm sorry.
Oral Roberts got a good coach, though.
They do.
He took Florida Gulf Coast to Sweet 16.
He was the assistant coach for Florida Gulf Coast.
Because Andy Einfeld was that.
Oh, and okay. Okay,
I believe.
Sorry, I'm getting confused with a story that we had on our website. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, Oral Roberts got a good coach.
But anyway. But
yeah, I get what you're saying.
Just the fact of that there's all these mismatches and you're going to go after Eric Musselman. I don't follow.
It's strange to, like, in the round of 32, like, all of the coaches that are left in the tournament are good coaches.
To make the tournament, you've got to be one of the 64 best teams.
And, like, why can't you, like, the coaches at the end of the day have no, it's the game's decided by players. Like, yeah. Coaches can tell players what to do, put them in the best situations to win, but at the end of the day, it's players. Like, if you want to take Texas Tech because you think Texas Tech's defense is better than Arkansas's, say that. I just think that was a bizarre way to say that you liked Texas Tech in that game. And it burned him big time.
It did, and I think that's what made Arkansas Razorback fans mad.
And right. Plus, even if he said Texas Tech's defense was the reason that they were going to beat Arkansas because it was better than Arkansas's, he was wrong on that too.
Let's get into that. Let's talk defense from Texas Tech and or not pardon me, from Texas Tech, from Arkansas. They have been underrated, I think, is not even the right word to describe Arkansas's defense and how well they have played recently and how little they've been talked about.
I think Arkansas's defense is a little bit, I don't know if disrespected is the right word, but it's definitely overlooked. Because, you know, I before we started recording, I came in here, I was telling you about the story idea I got. I'm going to ask Eric Musselman about it because he's kind of alluded to it in the past. You know, Arkansas scores at a really high clip, and so that's what all the talking heads talk about is Arkansas's offense. They score 82.5 points a game. They've got this guy who's going for this many points, this guy and this guy and this guy. They got so many offensive weapons. You look up Arkansas's number 10 in the country in defensive efficiency. No, who's talking about that? Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody. I mean, it was the talk before the Texas Tech game was, Arkansas is a really impressive offensive team. I've actually got this quote from Dan Bonner. They're a very impressive offensive team. They're a good defensive team, but their offense is among the best in the country at 82.5 points a game. Arkansas's defense is what's really winning them games right now. I mean, you telling me that Justin Smith holding Texas Tech players to 3 of 17 shooting when he's the nearest defender, like, that didn't have an impact on the game? Devo Davis's defense didn't have an impact in the game. You know, when he's face guarding and denying full court, like 85 feet, he's denying Mac McClung, who's Texas Tech's best scorer.
It was huge.
Yeah, it was huge. And Moses Moody's a little bit underrated defensively too. Like I've written in the past about, you know, opponents shooting numbers when he's the nearest defender. They're terrible. Arkansas's got so many good defensive pieces and they're so connected on that end that that is what is helping advance them, because they didn't want to play Texas Tech in the 60s.
Right.
But their defense is so good that they won a game against Texas Tech, who thrives in the mud in the 60s and in the 50s. They won the game because their defense is good.
They didn't allow Mac McClung to get into double digits. Like,
they put him on the line too much, but I think he took 6 shots.
So he didn't score double digits, which is your leading score. You denied him on in the last minute. Arkansas's defense, I think, is criminally underrated. And this is, I think, one of the things that you can put on the coach, in the fact of Musselman has his guys so prepared. It goes back into the stat of him with 4+ days to prepare, how well his teams play. But even beyond that, like, he just can get into a scouting report and the methods that he uses with the big sheets of paper and all of his Musselman-isms can get those guys to buy in and to understand and remember that during a game, this is what these teams like to do. It's really, really fascinating.
Yeah, people were fascinated with Texas Tech's defense, and that's what they wanted to use as their reasoning for saying that Texas Tech as a 6 seed was going to beat Arkansas as a 3 seed and advance to the Sweet 16. If you look at KenPom's numbers and their defensive efficiency, Arkansas was 11th going into the game, and Texas Tech's was in the 20s. And so it's like two really good defensive teams, but Arkansas's defense over the course of the season is better. So that argument that I'm going to take Texas Tech because their defense is good, Arkansas is good too.
Yeah.
Even better.
Yeah, and I think that's something to watch out for is Oral Roberts plays really good defense. Let's pivot just a little bit.
They have in the tournament.
To preview in Oral Roberts. They play really good, but they also just traditionally have good offense. Max Abesmas, am I saying that right?
I think so.
Okay, I'm going to try and say that right. Leads the NCAA in scoring. The entire NCAA, this guy from Oral Roberts, Abesmas, leads. So, yeah, they're going to score points. But Arkansas limited him to 11, I believe, in their first matchup.
Yeah.
That's
second fewest points he scored in a game all year.
That's huge.
O'Banner went for, or Obanor, I don't know how you say his name, but he went for a double-double when the first time that these teams met. But, yeah, Arkansas limited Asmus. Is that how you say his name? I'm still...
I think so. I'll look it up here in a second.
Because it looks simple enough. You just call him Max Abmus, but Asmus. Yeah, he's going back to February 27th, here's the points that he scored in a game. 41, 25, 22, 18, 23, 29, and 26. And he's gotten to the line, you know, 10+ times in 3 of those games. And so he's a problem. He's a big-time problem, and he's got seven or more assists in 3 of those games, including 10 in 1. He's Oral Roberts' two-man game has given people fits to this point in the tournament, and Arkansas has got to be on their P's and Q's when it comes to those two guys. And then I think you have to really focus in on, you know, the supporting cast. You can't allow, you know, option 3 to go for 15 to 18 points. That can't happen.
No, you can't. And this, by the way, just a little aside, this Oral Roberts team, their third leading scorer on the year is RJ Glasper. He's not going to play.
Yeah, he hasn't played in a while.
But former Arkansas Razorback that would be in playing the Hogs in this game.
He had a good game against Arkansas. I think he was in double figures when they played in Bud.
I mean, that's just like a given.
Right.
Former Razorbacks having good games against the Hogs, that's a given.
That's unheard of.
But... Arkansas, I don't think will, but you can't overlook Oral Roberts.
No.
I find it hard to believe that 21 or 18 through 22, 23 year olds are going to overlook a game now. The fact that they're in the Sweet 16, I think Musselman is going to pound that into them. But you surely can't overlook Oral Roberts to the fact of they're a good team.
Yeah. Like if you're not laser focused at this time of the year, then you're probably not still playing.
Right.
And so
Ohio State.
Yeah.
I mean, Illinois, basically the entire Big Ten.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a great look for the Big Ten. Not a great look for my bracket either.
No.
I had Illinois.
I had Illinois playing Iowa.
Yikes. So you're done then.
Yeah, I'm not winning our bracket league, by
right.
the way.
I should go ahead and give a little update on the bracket league. So Basketball Podcast of Mid-America has a ESPN bracket tournament challenge. And Jay Metz Rule is in sole possession of first place, followed by Hogstatrician. And then there's a big jumble for like tied for 10th, tied for 17th, 21st, 28th. Like, I don't think I'm in the running to win this one.
I'm not. All. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I'm not. But Arkansas Oral Roberts will be a good game. I'm interested to see how they defend Abe Smith, because Arkansas, when they've had a player that has just been lights out, they've kind of gone with the double team to get the ball out of that guy's hands and force him to make mistakes. If you do that, as you said, Oral Roberts can also be led by O'Banner. So how Arkansas defends, I'm really interested to see what they decide to do against Abe Smith and O'Banner in that 1-2 game.
I think you were going to see a lot of Justin Smith, a lot of Jalen Williams together. And if those two aren't on the floor together, one of the two will be with four guards around him. And the thing is, O'Banner is such a tough matchup, because you look at his KenPom page, he's taken the second most threes for Oral Roberts. Like, he's taken 113, he's shooting 46%. And so Arkansas is going to have a big on the floor who's mobile and can react and get out to the three-point line and pay him enough attention. But at the same time, you got to have a guy who's mobile enough to, you know, when he shot fakes and puts the ball on the floor and tries to get to the rim, you know, you got to have a guy there. And then your help's got to be sound, and you've got to provide enough help, but you also can't, you know, lag in recognizing shooters on the perimeter, because they've got plenty of guys that can fill it up, including Kareem Thompson. Like, he's like a guy that, you know, unless you're an Oral Roberts fan, maybe haven't heard of. He's shooting 41% from 3-2.
So, all that being said, keys for Arkansas to the win against Oral Roberts.
Just keep O'Banner off the glass. Like, Jalen Williams needs to be big on the defensive boards again, and 10 rebounds, 4 assists in your first tournament start, in your first significant NCAA tournament action, 10 boards, 4 assists, first start since January 16th too. That was a memorable performance, and it almost makes it even better because he only scored 1 point, and so it's like he tried to score. Yeah. But it's almost like you look at the box and you see he's taken 4 or 5 shots, missed them all, and he's a headache on the glass for Tech. I mean, it makes it look like he was, but makes him look like big, tough, strong, rebound-only guy that makes a huge difference. And he made a huge difference. You need that to continue. Justin Smith's got to continue to defend without fouling. I thought he did that great against Texas Tech. Especially on that last possession. I thought there could have been a whistle. But let it go.
Which was interesting, because Merrick Musselman was all about that being okay. They were deny the three-point line, because he felt like if you got an extra 5 minutes that they were going to win the game.
Yeah, layup doesn't kill you.
So I thought that was interesting. But yeah, close call on the last play of the game. If you're a Tech fan, then you're obviously thinking that it's a foul. If you're a Razorback fan, you don't think it was a foul. There's a few of those games that – or a few times in the game – on one of the plays where Arkansas got looked at for an intentional foul, and then you almost go back and say, like, hey, can we look at this and not call a foul at all. But that's not how it works, Scotty. That's not how it works. Keys for me, I think, can you limit ORU at the three-point line? How do lower-seeded teams stay in games a lot of the time is through getting extra points, whether that's offensive rebounds, which is another key factor here. Don't let them get extra opportunities. And then shooting the three. A-Smith shoots the three well. You're going to have to give up some of those looks, but don't give up more than, I mean, if you can limit them to less than six, I think that you're going to win the game. Six or less. Sure.
Yeah, they've made at least nine in three of their last four games. And, I mean, they hit 11 against Ohio State, 10 against Florida. Arkansas's got to keep that number below 10.
Those are extra points if you think about it. A trip down the floor, the team's average. If you're a good team, you're going to average over 1 point a possession. That's how you can get extra points in a game, is by hitting three-pointers. And so I think Arkansas can limit them from the outside and then not give them second-chance opportunities. Force Oral Roberts, who's just going to be a smaller team, force them inside and see if you can't bully them there. That might not work.
Yeah, they are a much smaller team. So that makes me believe that Arkansas is going to, you know, counter with some small lineups. But at the same time, I think you might be able to squeeze a little bit of life out of ORU by going with your big lineup with Justin Smith and Jalen Williams. Yeah. Like that front line is, I mean, I've talked about it. People are probably tired of me talking about it, but they're so good together. They're so good.
I mean, Jalen Williams with a few passes against Texas Tech just showed you their chemistry together.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Their chemistry is awesome. They're so connected on the defensive end. And then they just, that connectiveness on the defensive end translates. And they're so in sync with one another on the offensive end too. You know, they may not have the, like, you might see Justin go off like he did against Texas Tech and Jalen kind of fall back on the offensive end, but he's going to still give you something, whether it's offensive boards or assists. And then on the other end, they're both going to be dogs on the glass. I mean, you can count on that. But you made an interesting point. Like, ORU is not big. They're not big. So the lineups that have worked best for Arkansas so far in the tournament have been four guards around Justin Smith and then three guards with Justin and Jalen. So those are the two that I think you can bank on seeing, and I'm not sure what role or impact Connor Vandover is going
to
have.
Just about to ask, does he in the game?
He might get in just to see, you know, if he can knock down a shot or two, maybe contest a shot. Why not just, like, put him as your goalie again? It's like, don't go outside the restricted area. But at the same time, that doesn't really work against ORU because O'Banner can stroke it from deep.
Right.
So I don't know who his matchup would be. So that kind of leads me to believe they're going with Justin and Jalen.
He might be a guy that only plays, if necessary, the 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
Maybe to spell somebody.
But Connor, that's just the way that it has to be right now. I mean, they tried to utilize him in that Colgate game, and he just couldn't,
right,
for whatever reason.
And I think they would rather throw a little bit more mobile big and like Ethan Henderson out there for a couple minutes instead. Just for he can be a defensive plus at times.
I agree. He can be utilized, if utilized in the right way, he can be crucial. Arkansas is going to be the favorite, obviously. They're a big favorite. They're over 10. But I'm trying to think of the right words. They're crushing Cinderella here. Everybody else in the entire country outside of the corner of Arkansas is going to be rooting for the Hogs. Pardon me.
Yeah, they're not going to have any extra fans whatsoever.
No, they're not. But I guess that's one of the good things of the fact of that there's not a lot of fans there. Mm-hmm. And Arkansas would travel well. Don't get me wrong.
They were deep in Hinkle the other day.
The students came and were loud, and so Arkansas would travel well regardless, especially with this being the first time since the Sweet 16 since 1996. I have a feeling that Arkansas would have a majority of fans in the building. But still, you know, you're going to go and have to crush the narrative of being this team playing against Cinderella. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see how Arkansas handles it. I almost can guarantee you that Musselman is handling it, though, and telling his team that this is what's going to happen, and we're going to embrace it. We're going to do it. We're going to go for it. We're going to move forward. So some keys to Arkansas versus Oral Roberts. They play Saturday. Other games that you're excited about, Scotty, in the Sweet 16?
Yeah, I need to pull those up. While I'm going to filibuster while I'm pulling up the schedule. I think another key for Arkansas against ORU is the matchup between whoever is between Max Asmus and whoever is checking him.
Who do you think guards him first?
I think it's Devo. I really do. You look at Devo's, I wrote about it yesterday. You look at his defensive numbers when he was the nearest defender to, you know, a Colgate player and a Texas Tech player. He gave up one bucket on 7 shots, which is absurd, especially for a freshman. And it's not like he's checking the fourth option on either team. Like he's such a good defender. Like he's going to get matched up with a guy who can give you problems on offense. Against Jordan Burns. Burns was 0-for-1 shooting. Devo had 2 steals, forced 2 turnovers. Against Jack Ferguson, you know, Jack Ferguson lit it up for 11 points in the first half. Jack Ferguson was 0-for-3 against Devo, and he didn't score in the second half.
Wow.
The only score he gave up as the nearest defender was to Kyler Edwards. I think he was in the first half of the Tech game against Mac McClung. McClung was 0-for-2, 0-for-1 from deep, and Devo forced 2 turnovers. His defense has just been phenomenal.
It's been really cool to see, too, from Arkansas's perspective of coming into the season, Jalen Tate was your best defender. And maybe it was because Devo wasn't playing, but he was just your best defender. For good reason, too. He won Defensive Player of the Year.
You want to hear something crazy about Tate as a defender in the tournament to this point?
Yeah, hit me with it.
So as the nearest defender to a Colgate shooter, Tate gave up 7 buckets on 15 shots.
Not good.
Not great. Would you have believed that? Like if I'd told you that after the game, would you have believed that?
7 buckets on 15 shots?
That Jalen Tate gave up 7 buckets?
No.
I don't know that I am.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm believing it. And in the next, you know, against Texas Tech, they were 3-for-5 against him. So I think you're seeing, not that Jalen Tate's a terrific defender. Devo is just, I think he's emerging as your best defender.
Yeah, and I'm not sure when that transition happened, but it happened, and it's a thing now.
Yeah.
Arkansas is a thing, Devo is a thing, and his defense has been nothing short of spectacular and is a reason why Arkansas sits where they sit right now.
Yeah, and so like we were talking to Devo after the Texas Tech game. We're talking to him, somebody asked him about his face guarding of McClung in the last minute, and he's like, that's what coach wanted me to do. And so if Devo's saying that Mus is telling Devo to face guard McClung, then that tells you that Mus has all the confidence in the world in Devo, and he's going to put, you know, Jalen Tate probably on Kyler Edwards. I think that was the matchup. And so you got some length on Kyler Edwards, who's a big guard. But Devo against Mac McClung, that was a matchup that I think favored Devo.
All right, Scotty. Other matchups you're excited to watch? Obviously, I'll be interested in the Villanova-Baylor game. See, Baylor looked the part of a team that is a number one ranking in their win over, I believe they played Wisconsin, didn't they? Or did they play Oklahoma? I have the bracket here. I just didn't
say that again.
Baylor's win. They played.
Wisconsin. Wisconsin.
Yeah, they looked the part of a team.
They squeezed the life out of Wisconsin.
And then Gonzaga also looked the part of a number one team with their win over Oklahoma.
For sure. I think the Syracuse-Houston game is kind of underratedly interesting, because how does Houston attack a 2-3 zone?
Yeah.
You know, they've got terrific guards. And another storyline is, you know, if Arkansas wins and Houston wins, you got Reggie Chaney in the Elite Eight, and then Arkansas's in the Elite Eight. So I think, you know, you're kind of pulling for Reggie, because Reggie, when he was here, you know, he gave you everything he had. It just wasn't a fit.
Right.
He's found a fit. He's found a home with Kelvin Sampson in Houston. Like, he's not having like a huge year, but you're happy for the guy. Like, it worked out for both sides. I think we've talked about that before. Loyola, Chicago, Oregon State, a little bit also underrated too. Cameron Krutwig is a problem.
His last name, man, I don't know. I don't know if this is mean, so I'm going to apologize in advance just in case. But his last name matches how he looks.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think I've got a better mustache than him. But somebody tweeted the other day that he can't celebrate because at 8 o'clock in the morning, he's got to drive an 18-wheeler to Montana. And I thought that fit his look just perfectly.
Yeah, no, I'm interested. So the reason why we love March, right? You look at the bottom right bracket. One of these teams is going to the Final Four. Loyola, Chicago, Oregon State, Syracuse, or Houston. Would you have picked, Houston was the only logical choice, really, out of those four. So that's the reason why we like March Madness. Those will be interesting games to watch. I'm excited for them, Scotty. There'll be games on Saturday and Sunday, and then Arkansas, if they win, which they have to win, playing Oral Roberts, would play on Monday against the winner of Baylor and Villanova. All right, we're going to end this thing, not necessarily on a high note, but we're going to, again, put somebody on blast, Scotty. Okay. This time, we are going to Ken Sterling. He is a writer for Indiana. And again, I want to make this clear. We are not blasting the take. If we blasted the take, Scotty and I would put ourselves on blast all the time. We understand that you can have the take that Justin Smith to Indiana is not going to work out. Or pardon me, Justin Smith to Arkansas from Indiana is not going to work out. You can logically have that take. Some of the things that we're pointing towards it may even make sense.
It was accurate in the moment, I think, because when he transferred, like, Arkansas's roster wasn't looking that great because you hadn't brought in like just a ton of guys, and you're losing two guys to the NBA, and you're losing Jimmy Witt and Adriel Bailey. So I get like some of it, but in retrospect, it was just
bad.
It's criminally, you know, underestimating the roster management of this coaching staff.
And then also, we take offense to the shots fired at the city of Fayetteville. So here we go.
Indiana is not going to be a worse basketball team because of the absence of Justin Smith. Do they look like a team that's going to be anything other than mediocre in the Southeastern Conference? Not so much. Chicken farms are everywhere down in Fayetteville. All right, the smell of the chicken farms are everywhere.
Are you stupid or something?
It's not Bloomington. Bloomington's beautiful. Bloomington's lovely. Fayetteville, not so lovely.
Yikes. Like, to go over four. There are more, by the way. There are more takes in there. I just cut out four. But there's some bad stuff in
there.
He's
so loud wrong. It's astounding.
I agree.
And he's just like, Bloomington's lovely. Fayetteville, not so lovely. Great point, man.
Okay.
Personal injury lawyer looking ass.
So this just shows you the personal bias that can come from these things. I was curious. I Googled Fayetteville, Arkansas, just those two words. You want to know what the fourth result that came up, Scotty?
Oh, it had to be like the one of the top places to live.
Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Yeah.
One of the best places to live in the country. The fourth result. I was like, okay. I Googled Bloomington, Indiana. Nothing like that popped up. So even then I was like, okay, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Bloomington, Indiana, best places to live is what I Googled. There was one website that listed them that was some, I don't remember what it was called even. There was like, Bloomington, Indiana is an underrated place. That's why we put it first on our list. Nobody ever thinks about it. But here it is at number 10. And then they went into nine other places. Bloomington, Indiana, I have never been. So I am not going to do the exact same thing that Ken Sterling just did. It is probably a beautiful place. You know, I don't know if there's chicken farms everywhere or whatever you want to be just absolutely ludicrous about. It's probably a beautiful place. But national people have rated Arkansas a top five place to live. I think recently they were top eight. Just Google. I mean,
yeah.
It takes a second to type in Fayetteville, Arkansas and just see. So I think that's the take. And then the fact, the going back to the actual basketball, since this is the basketball podcast in Mid-America, he was so wrong. Indiana, a worse team. He went on in his article to talk about how Justin Smith will maybe be missed on defense, but can't score. He's been Arkansas's leading scorer in the two biggest games of Arkansas's career, or Arkansas's season in the NCAA tournament. He made Indiana better, and then Indiana's searching for a new coach. All of those things, yeah, I think are just hilarious.
I just, like what Furman said earlier, like, I don't, in Kent Sterling's case, just why get so bent out of shape about what a 21-year-old is doing?
Yeah.
Like, what effect does it have on your life, man? Like, it's his life, not yours. If he wants to, like, search for greener pastures, let him.
And he was talking about how Arkansas isn't greener pastures.
He was talking about how he wasn't mad about it, and then he gave you a list of reasons why he was mad about it. Like, stop getting bent out of shape about it. Like, it's basketball. Like, we love basketball, and we think it's important, but, like, this kid, he graduated from your school, from your business school, in 3 years. So he's taking care of his business, and he wants to find a different situation where he thinks he can have some more success with a coaching staff that's got, you know, ties to the NBA and ties to player development. And we knew he was going to be a good defensive player because that's what you Indiana guys were telling us. And he's coming to a staff that can develop him on offense and know how to use him and utilize him. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Just stop getting, let's just stop getting bent out of shape about what 20 and 21 year old kids are doing when they're just trying to do what's best for them.
Listen, sometimes we can be blinded by the colors that we bleed as fans, that if anything happens bad, that we don't see it, right? Reggie Chaney, we just talked about. He had to leave Arkansas's program because it wasn't the right fit. You're going to recruit guys that get in whether it's the coach's fault, the assistant coach's fault, or the player's fault, or all three. It can be all three combined. Whoever's responsible, like, you're not going to go 100%. You're not going to bat 1,000 at the plate.
Yeah.
You're just not. These are human beings that no matter how much time you spend watching them play basketball, you don't get them into practice one time before you recruit them. So you're going to miss sometimes. You're going to have grad transfers. Arkansas is going to have grad transfers. It happens. Arkansas is going to have transfers out of the program. You just have to recover from it. You have to let those guys go and learn from it. If you want guys to come into your program to grad transfer, which Eric Musselman is very good at, getting guys into your program, then you're also going to have to be willing to let guys go. And I think the best way to handle that is like what we just did with Reggie Chaney. It's really cool that Chaney has found a spot to play basketball. Yeah. That's the whole point. These kids get paid in a scholarship, in a scholarship, to... Yeah, I don't want to clarify that. Your face is...
No, I'm good. Go ahead.
They get paid in a scholarship. They get a scholarship. That's the better way to say that.
Yeah.
To play basketball. When you played basketball in high school, Little League, whatever sport you played, just think about it for a second. Did you want to sit on the bench? No. Nobody goes to someplace to sit on the bench. You go to play. So if it doesn't work out here, you can go somewhere else. If it's not in the greener pastures are not there, go somewhere else. All right. I'm stepping down off my soapbox and I'll give it to you so that we can have some clarity of thought. But as we end the basketball.
You're good. Like, it's just, you know, you think about it, like with kids going to the school that they're recruited by, you know, when you're dating, everything, you know, is probably great right off the bat. But it's, you know, you get married and you move in with each other.
Things happen.
You see things a little bit differently. Sometimes it just doesn't work, man. And I'm not, that's not a divorce take. But like sometimes, like
if Mallory is listening right now.
With recruiting, sometimes, you know, the courting stage, the dating stage, the, hey, we really want you to come here stage that gets you to commit. Sometimes like things just change from that point to when you get in the program and things just don't work out. But in Justin Smith's case, like he did everything he could. I mean, he graduated, like I said, he graduated in 3 years from a great business school, and he's just looking out for what's best for him. I mean, there's just, and what I should clarify that some of the things that the guy from Indiana said in the moment weren't wrong, but just to throw dirt on Fayetteville and Northwest Arkansas and, you know, just kind of slam Justin for wanting to come here because he doesn't think the city he's coming to is as good as Bloomington. Like that's a little bit out there to me.
It's an outrageous take. Well, Scotty, did we miss anything before we wrap it up here on the Basketball Podcast in Mid-America?
I'm excited for the weekend. Like Arkansas could potentially be going to the Final Four after this weekend.
Think about that.
Where how crazy would you have called me on a scale of 1 to 10 if I said that in mid-January?
Ludicrous.
Yeah.
We would be checking Scotty's mental health.
In mid-January, I planned a vacation for this week because I didn't think Arkansas would be playing basketball right now.
Yeah. Well, I didn't either. I mean, we were literally going through. Do you remember when we went through Arkansas's remaining schedule?
Yeah, I said they were going to go like 8-10 in the league.
And not thinking that was going to be enough to get them into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. So we're not beyond, you know, calling ourselves out for our takes. But
like I said, the whole thing is not about the take. It's about how outrageous, ludicrous the like personal attacks are.
Yeah.
And
yeah. And not just on Justin, but just like as a people here.
Yeah, he went in to talk about a story about how he had a chicken farmer is what he called them, although he never talked to this guy, so how does he know? Was checking out with 80 cans of cat food. Like, well, maybe this guy doesn't come into town very often. Who are you to judge my man is
buying some for his cat? One person definitely represents a whole group of people, no doubt.
As we've known, when tornadoes hit certain parts of certain cities, they go and always find like the worst people to interview. Those people don't always represent the entire.
Station in Little Rock did that with my hometown not too long ago.
It's not fun. All right, Arkansas, Oral Roberts, Sweet 16 berth on the line. 6:25 is the start time on a Saturday. So Razorback fans that have kind of, they had the early game, they had the middle game. This is towards the end. It's kind of the middle game, too, of the games on Saturday. Man, you're playing right at prime time on Saturday. This is going to be huge. This is going to be fun. Arkansas with a chance to get to the Elite Eight. If Arkansas does beat Oral Roberts, more than likely either Saturday night or Sunday, Scotty and I will try and get on here and talk a little bit more about that matchup and whoever they play, whether it is Baylor or Villanova, to get to the Final Four.
Yeah, Saturday, 6:25, prime time's when the Hogs play.
Always, Jack Kinley, prime time.
That quote's going to live forever and ever.
It is indeed when the Hogs play. Well, for Scotty Bordelon, I am Seth Campbell saying thank you for joining us. Whether you are watching us on our not necessarily live stream, but our video stream on YouTube, whether you are listening on the podcast, wherever you're listening, subscribe there so that you don't miss any of our great content here on wholehogsports.com. And also check out wholehogsports.com for some great information. We will get you beyond ready for Saturday. Bob Holt, Tom Murphy, Scotty Bordelon, Matt Jones, Dudley Dawson, Richard, me, we're sold, man. We're going to get you anything from recruiting takes to notes and everything else for those back games. So there's a ton of guys working.
I've got a Jalen Williams feature coming too. I think on Friday I talked to Jalen Williams' mom earlier this week.
Check that out.
She gave me some fun stuff. So I'm pumped to put that out there.
Yeah, it's going to be a really good story. Make sure to check that out as well. But like I said, for Scotty Bordelon, I am Seth Campbell saying thank you for joining us. Don't forget to subscribe, and hopefully we will see you back here later this week.